maybe they're right. Maybe there is something the matter with me. I just don't see how having a big collection of board games could be bad.
Look at the stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has every game? Look at this trove, treasures untold. How many expansions can one shelf hold? Looking around here, you think, sure, she's got everything. I've got Gaia and Gizmos aplenty. I've got Spodits and Goddits galore.
You want more complex games? I've got 80.
But who cares? No big deal. I want more. I wanna back all the Kickstarters. I wanna play them all now. Reading up on all those, what do you call them?
Oh,
rules. FLGS is my favorite place. Time is required for scanning, browsing, protecting new cards with those, what's that word again? Sleeves. Out of print games, up for the hunt, up where they buy all the games just for fun. Wonder and free, wish I could be part of that world.
Hey, wake up! We gotta record a new podcast.
What? But I was a mermaid.
You were a what?
I was a mermaid, and I was gonna buy Cascadian Verdant to complete our collection.
But I thought you're still in that contest to not buy games.
Yeah, I am. I wish I was back with the people who can buy games. You know, be part of that world.
I'm Jaina.
And I'm Sharon.
And together, we're Jess's Begancy.
Moving you from antsy to gancy.
And today...
we were supposed to talk about Calico, Cascadia, and Verdant.
Wait,
and I personally feel as though I was misled and potentially gaslit because you've always referred to these three games as a trilogy. And just before recording this, you told me that maybe it's not really a trilogy in the way that you have described it because the game designers are different and the themes are obviously not really related. They're just apparently three games published in succession by the same publisher.
Flat Out Games.
But you've explained it to me as though it's a trilogy, like we need to collect them all to complete the set. Which I already had reservations because even the art didn't completely align. So I don't know why you've misled me all these years into thinking that they're a collection or a trilogy when they're in fact not.
Okay, in my defense, I did think they were a trilogy until we decided to do this episode. And then I'm like, hang on, are they actually a trilogy? I did a tiny bit of digging for like 3 minutes and I couldn't figure it out. They're whatever referred to them. But I think it's like the T games, right? Like there was the T trilogy. You got Solkin and then Teotihuacan.
Are they not a trilogy?
And then...
they have to be a trilogy, right?
Well, they kept going. There's so many more T games now. Tabanitsu and Terracotta Army. And like they just keep... what's the new one? They just keep coming out with T games.
But I thought...
Tylatum?
I thought the original three T games were thematically the same.
Well, maybe, but I feel like the one after it is also
like Terracotta Army definitely is totally in a completely different region.
Well, the first three, Tekenyu, but then like Tawanitsu or whatever it is feels very similarly themed too.
Tekenyu, Teotihuacan, and Solkin.
Mm-hmm.
Those three make sense. That they're a trilogy, mm-hmm. a collection.
But they kept going.
Oh, I didn't know that. Anyways.
Today.
And today I feel misled That's how I feel.
And we're going to share our probably unpopular opinions about Calico, Cascadia, and Verdant.
Oh, if only Verdant started with a C as well.
I know.
It just needed like...
They made it really hard for us to do this.
C. Yeah. CCV just doesn't like... Yeah. Because you know what? It makes sense that they're not a trilogy because I was racking my brain and I was trying to make those work. I'm like, okay, I guess, you know, Calico, you're indoors, you're quilting, there are cats. And then speaking of cats and indoor cats, you probably want to go outside and you're going hiking and into the wilderness. So you have all of these wild animals in North America with, you know, salmon.
I don't think they even have cougar. It's not one of the animals.
Bears and...
So we can't even go like cat. Moves. Small cat to big cat.
Yeah, no. And then I'm like, okay, well, now that you've gone hiking, you probably just want to curl up back home. And, you know, you fed the cat, so they're sleeping. So now you're just surrounding yourself with, you know, house plants. And that was a very big stretch.
Yeah, it doesn't quite. No. But, okay, we're going to we'll start out by describing the games then comparing and contrasting and sharing what our, you know, favorite, second favorite, least favorite is.
Okay.
And I think we will find some similarities in the mechanisms. They kind of overlap in interesting ways. Okay, so the first in the series was Calico. And Calico is a tile-laying game about basically you're creating a quilt to attract cats, and also sew buttons on it, and complete pattern goals.
But you're not a barbarian. You don't just sew buttons on willy-nilly. Everyone who quilts knows that you can only sew a particular color of button as long as you have three contiguous patches of the same color.
Yes. I think those are the rules
exactly.
for quilting.
The rules of quilting. So that's how you get buttons.
So basically, in this game, every player has their own player board, which is double layered. And it's designed to perfectly slot in these beautiful hexagonal quilt tiles. And each quilt tile has a color and a pattern. This is important because your goal tiles, every player has three of them put in specific slots. And the goals...
On the quilt.
The goals want certain things. It may be... And they're related to pattern and or color. Maybe they want three of one color or pattern, two of a different one, and one of a third. Or maybe they want two of pattern or color, two of another one, two of another one. Or maybe they want everything to be all different.
So the way that they do it is they denote it by alphabet. So it could be an AABBB or an AABBCC. And it's important that we talk about the alphabets because... Because for each of the patterns, there are two ways that you could score. There's the almost like the half score where you can fulfill the same AABBCC, say, for instance, configuration in either color or pattern. Or you can fulfill the AABBCC, say, for instance, in both color and pattern, which then would give you the maximum score.
You only want to do that if you really want to break your brain, though.
Yes, this is definitely a brain-breaky lucky.
But that's the fun of it. So you're trying to fulfill these patterns. You're also trying to get three consecutive tiles in a row of the same color so you can add a button, because those are extra points. And if you can get one of each color of button, and I think there's six of them?
I want to say five.
I'm picturing like a little wheel, and I'm pretty sure it's six.
Okay.
Anyways, six, five, seven, who can say? And if you can do that, then you get a rainbow button, which is worth another, you know, 3 points. And on top of that, there's cats.
There's very cute cats.
Each game you're going to play with three cats. And each cat wants a specific set of tiles. Sometimes like it's a specific shape. Maybe it's just a certain number of tiles. And you're randomly mixing up all the different patterns. And then you're giving each cat two patterns. So those are the patterns they want. So they want their specific shape or number or whatever it is of tiles in one of those two patterns. And if you, as soon as you do that, you'll attract that cat and you get to take a little token shaped like that cat and put it on your board. And they're, of course, worth different points based on how hard they are to attract. So you're combining your colors and your buttons and your cats on the quilt and your quilting goals all together in a hellaciously in a hellacious game. It looks so cozy and relaxing. There's a very beautiful orange kitten curled up on the front,
which looking is all calm and peaceful. Because the game's called Calico, and they chose to not put a calico cat on the cover.
Yeah, that seems like an oversight, but that's fine. That's fine. I'll let it go. I'll let it go. It looks like a very calming, cozy, relaxing game. It is not.
It's actually quite ruthless because not only that, you're each turn, you're picking from the available swatches that are out there.
Well, two. You get to pick from two each turn.
And you're refilling the swatch through a blind draw within the bag. And depending on what your opponents are building, the existing colors they already have or patterns they already have, you might be vying for the same piece of fabric. That it's already a probability game whether you're able to draw it out from the bag. But it might make things even worse if your partners or your opponents are vying for the same piece of fabric. And when you finally you're able to draw out that piece of fabric that you've been pining for, you pass it on to your opponent and that's the tile that they
Because
take.
Each player only has two tiles in hand. Mm-hmm. So on their turn, they play one of those two tiles somewhere on their board. Mm-hmm. Then they have to choose one of three tiles in the market to take into their hand for next time. And then they refill that market, as Sharon said, with a blind draw. So it can be very difficult. Especially in a two-player game, you're just really hoping the tile color slash pattern that you need is going to come up at some point. And you kind of have to hedge your bets because in this game, things get tighter and tighter as the game progresses. Like your board's getting more and more full, you have fewer and fewer options. So it's just everything kind of shrinks down and gets tougher as the game goes.
What's tough too is that it's a small space and there are three criteria that you need to meet, which means that sometimes when you lay a swatch of fabric down, it's satisfying both of those criteria, which means it gives a bit of a domino effect on the pattern or the color for both of your swatch requirements.
Oh, were you talking about the goal tiles?
The goal tiles.
Oh, yeah. If you can find them. It's always hard finding the ones that have to cover both.
Yeah, because that's where the brain breakiness comes in because, okay, so there's one that needs AABBCC. There's another one that does AAABBB. But there's always often that one tile that overlaps the two, the two different ways that you could score. Meaning then it dictates. Anyways, it switches your probability to fulfill both. I think it's quite rare, very, very rare, and you must be very lucky to actually fulfill all of those criteria, maximizing the pattern and color for
Might
all.
Might be
of
smart
them.
To put those tiles down first.
No, I think I did that first at that last game that we played, and it made it very hard for me.
Oh, interesting.
When I just randomly decided early on. I think anyways.
I waited and never got the one I needed.
Oh, okay.
So I had to sacrifice one. Couldn't get them both. But anyways, okay, so that's Calico. So the next game in the series was Cascadia. And let me say, when Calico came out, people loved it. It took us a while to get it, which is odd because cats, Team Cozy. And one of my friends got it for us for Christmas a couple years ago.
Oh.
And we really just fell in love with it. We played it quite a bit, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. So when Cascadia came out, I was pretty excited. Mm-hmm. And everyone loves Cascadia. Mm-hmm. Like it was just the darling of, I don't know, the light games that year. I think it won the Spiel. I could be wrong. I feel like it did. It just took, I think, the gaming world by storm. So in Cascadia, similar-ish idea. You are laying tiles out. Except these tiles are basically representative of the different habitats in Pacific Northwest and Cascades, I'm assuming, Cascade Mountains. And so you're laying out those habitat tiles. And on top of that, you're also adding animal tokens. So each tile is going to dictate, depending on the terrain, which animal tile would match it and can go there. And then each game you have your animal scoring criteria. So each animal is going to score in a different way. So maybe you want for elk, maybe you want in this game a perfect row of elk. And the more you get in a row, the more points you're getting. Salmon, it's usually some variation of runs. Like you want a whole connected grouping of them. But again, it depends on what exactly the scoring criteria is as to how you want to set those up and so on. And so the catch with this game, instead of just having that limited, you have two tiles and you place one out and you refresh, they have a shared market where you've got a tile, habitat tile paired with a little animal token. And on your turn, you're going to take one habitat paired with that animal token and you're going to add it to your basically tableau. And in that tableau, so for habitats, you want to match up the same habitats when you can, because you're going to be scoring for your biggest, say, water section or your biggest forest. And I think whoever has the absolute biggest ones getting, you know, bonus points.
It's nice because it's like a two-part puzzle. You get the geography piece of puzzle to it. Mm-hmm. You're trying to maximize those things. And you're also trying to fulfill what the animals want.
And so in this game, they kind of have a luck mitigation method of some sorts. So every time you take a keystone tile, which is a tile that just has one habitat type on it, you also get to take an acorn. It's not actually an acorn, it's pine cone. But Sharon has determined that a pine cone is the same thing as an acorn, and she calls them acorns.
So we call them acorns. Acorns are cute.
Okay, it's a pine cone that we call an acorn. So you get to take one of those little tokens.
It's not an acorn, but I call it an acorn.
Okay, and you can use those during the course of the game. Say I had an acorn tile that I was like, oh, you know, I'm gonna use this turn, and that could let me take a tile, a habitat tile, with a different animal token. So not the animal token that's associated with it. Or you can use those to wipe the animal tokens and get fresh ones, or wipe the habitat token tiles and get fresh ones. So you can kind of use those to help mitigate the luck a little bit. But of course, if you hold on to them, they're worth points at the end of the game. And that's really the game. There's five different animal types, and you're trying to maximize your scoring on all the different animal types. And you can mix and match, because the animal types, they have different cards within them. I can't remember if it's four or five. So you can have different scoring criteria. You can mix and match the sets up. They have recommended sets. And it, yeah, just kind of keeps it fresh.
Yeah. And per the internet, you are correct. Cascadia did win the Spiel des Jahres 2022.
Excellent.
It is definitely the darling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And everyone loved it. And rightly so. Like, it's very common. It's very relaxing. It's pretty, you know, Beth Sobel artwork again with the more realistic, lovely animals. Mm-hmm. It's just a nice game.
There's, once again, I think the similarities across three games is that all three games uses cloth bags that you draw things out of.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. And yeah, that's Cascadia. You feel the similarities a little bit with Calico, kind of. You've got that tile laying aspect, the hexagonal tiles. You're trying to make certain patterns and things match up. It's not super. I think, okay, let's move on to Verdant, because yeah. I think Verdant pulls things from both games.
I feel like Verdant and Cascadia are more similar game or similar yeah, to each other than
they share more similar mechanisms.
Than Calico.
True. Okay, so in Verdant, you are decorating a house, I think, with houseplants.
You also have lots of rooms in this house. I think you must be just very independently wealthy.
I have to assume it's a mansion.
Yes.
Because in Verdant, you are creating a 5x3 grid of cards. Mm-hmm. And these cards are going to interchange basically between houseplants mm-hmm. and rooms. Mm-hmm. So your grid is going to go houseplant room, etc. in a checkerboard pattern. And what you're trying to do, basically each of these houseplants want certain lighting scenarios, lighting situations. Maybe they want bright, direct sunlight. Maybe they want indirect sunlight. Maybe they want shade.
Maybe they want a combination thereof. Mm-hmm.
And some of them are really flexible. They may be happy with, you know, a few different lighting conditions. Mm-hmm. Others may only be satisfied with one. Mm-hmm. And so the room Each room has, on each side of the card, it has a lighting scenario. It'll mm-hmm. tell you, like, this side of the card is bright, full sun. Mm-hmm. You know, the bottom might be indirect light. And as you put those out, so you're trying to match up your house plant, what it wants for sunlight, with the sun condition on any side of it. Because every time you get a match, you get to add a verdancy token to that plant.
Which is a cute little monstera leaf.
Yeah, a little wooden monstera leaf. And to be able to score those plants, you have to reach their verdancy requirements. Some of the easier ones maybe only need 3. Some of the hard ones need like 9 or more. So you're matching them. You might say like, oh, well, okay, but if you're matching it by light types and there's 4 sides to a card, at the most you could only ever get 4 verdancy, right? Wrong. Because as in Cascadia, on your turn, there is a central market that's going to give you a row of 4 plant cards. They're matched with a row of 4 tokens in the middle, and then a row of 4 room cards. So on your turn, you're taking either a plant card or a room card and the associated tokens. And a lot of the tokens let you do special things, like there's a fertilizer one. Mm-hmm. Fertilizer token's going to let you pick one of your plants and just immediately add 3 verdancy to it.
Mm-hmm. There's feeding your plants.
Yeah, there's a watering can. That one you pick a room and you get to add 1 verdancy to every plant that's adjacent to that room.
Because you're watering all the plants mm-hmm. in the room.
Yeah. Or there's like a little trowel mm-hmm. and that just lets you add 3 verdancy to any plant anywhere in your house. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because you can just easily carry the trowel from room to room, whereas
yeah, unlike the watering can.
Watering can.
It's way too heavy.
Yeah.
So what would one do with a trowel and an houseplant to make it grow? Do you aerate the soil?
That must be it.
Do you change the dirt?
That must be it. Maybe you're repotting them. So
you're repotting them?
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyways.
That's what a trowel does.
So you're trying to balance, you know, what the room requirements are with the plants. And on top of that, there's different colors of rooms. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, each room has like a little square slot in the middle that perfectly fits the other tokens they have in the game. Mm-hmm. And
those tokens can be furniture. Mm-hmm. And they could be a little bookshelves. It mm-hmm. could be a nice, comfy little couch. It could be cats. It could mm-hmm. be dogs. Mm-hmm. Just whatever makes a good decorative addition to that room.
Because at the end of the game, you are going to be scoring, you know, you score points for your verdancy of all your, the points scored of all your plants that you have matched their verdancy requirement. Because mm-hmm. as soon as you match a verdancy requirement, you get to take a little pot.
That's right.
And at the start of the game, you have a range of pots. And the bigger ones, of course, are higher value. Mm-hmm. So you go for those first mm-hmm. and you finish that plant and you get to put that pot over it. Mm-hmm. And there's like cute little ceramic pots or concrete pots. Anyway, all very cute. And as the game progresses, of course, those, you know, higher value pots disappear. So you're going lower and lower down. So you want to finish plants early to get the higher value pots. But you also want to get the harder plants to finish because you're getting more points. But you also want to make sure you're lining up the room requirements. And so at the end of the game, you're scoring verdancy for your plants. You're scoring for the pots. You're scoring each room scores depending on if it's matching
what the plants that they want. Because there are rooms that just like, I don't know, ferns. And then there's another room that just likes cacti.
All these plants are split into 5 different types. Mm-hmm. And then each room has a type of plant that they like best. And you'll usually score 1 point for each type of that plant that's adjacent to that room. But if you get that matching the token in that room that's the right color, it doubles your points for those matching. And on top of that, there's goal cards that maybe you're going to get extra points this time for each just room tokens that match. You're going to get extra points for that. Or maybe you're getting extra points for having, you know, a bunch of different types of plants. Or I don't even remember, depending on the road. There's so many goal cards.
This game also
has. And you want all the different types of plants, at least one of each, to get some bonus points. And you want every room color. There's so much scoring in this game.
There's also their equivalent of the acorn/pinecone.
The
little green thumb icon. And, kudos to all the different shades of skin mm-hmm. that the green thumb represents. But the green thumb icon essentially acts as though it's the pine cone from Cascadia to let you mix and match your room or plant with the article.
Or wipe the cards or wipe the tokens. Yeah. Or you can just pay some to increase the verdancy of one of your plants.
So it sounds like there's a lot in this game, but what I'm...
Because there is.
But what's interesting is that it doesn't feel all that complicated. I mean, if I compare all three games and, you know, there's a lot to Verdant, but it almost feels like Verdant, well, or maybe Cascadia. One of those two is a lot more simpler than, say, Calico. Calico doesn't have a lot of components or stuff to it, rules wise. I think, but it really burns my brain to figure out how to match those things together.
I think Calico is the easiest to teach, but it's hard to wrap your head around the patterns and the colors and matching the goals. And it's really, like, rules wise, it's the most streamlined of them. Mm-hmm. But it hurts. Because you really just need this one specific tile, and it's a huge bag of tiles, and there's just very low chance you're going to get what you need, and it's still going to be there.
Yeah.
And I find with Calico and with Verdant, as the game progresses, things get tighter and tighter. There's fewer things that are useful to you.
Yeah.
Like, it just shrinks, basically, and it just feels like you get more stressed as the game goes on. Whereas Cascadia, you don't get that.
No, it's a wide
open
field. You've
got way more options.
Which I guess makes sense thematically. You're in the wide open nature versus in Calico, you're literally just quilting a finite sized quilt.
And
And in Verdant, you're just in your
Eventually your mansion's going to get full.
Yeah, well, you have the lot size isn't infinity.
Okay. I know we want to talk and compare.
Yeah.
But should we start by saying which is our favorite, second favorite, third favorite?
Okay.
So I think we agree. I think our rankings are the same. You can correct me if I'm wrong as I say it.
Okay.
Here is where people may want to throw things at us.
Yeah.
Our least favorite of the trilogy is Cascadia.
Yeah. I think Cascadia... Yeah, for me, it's like I kind of go between number two and number three. But yeah, fair. No, okay.
Cascadia, for me, doesn't have the tension.
No, it doesn't. But it's a nice game in the sense that I think a lot of people like it because it doesn't have that tension.
Yes.
It's not like burning your brain. You're sort of competing, but you're not really. Even with more people, it's just you're doing your own thing.
But here's the thing. It is a darling of the What Couples Have Been Playing. Mm-hmm. Great two-player game. But I'm not sure your decisions matter all that much. Because so many times with this game, more than any game I've ever seen, most people report, oh yeah, I managed to pull out a win at the end by 1 point, by 2 points. Honestly, it's rare that I see someone where their scores were more than 2 points apart.
For Cascadia.
They're often really close. And I think because once you figured out the animal, you know, you got to balance scoring your animal, scoring your habitat. But I think as long as you're keeping an eye on both of those things and planning accordingly, I don't know that it really matters what you do.
I think for Cascadia, it's the most – it puts my brain the most at ease, I think. There's no
very relaxing.
There's no tension. Mm-hmm. It's not boring. The opposite of not having tension isn't boring. You know, you're still doing your own little puzzle, but you're at a nice little calm state. Whereas Calico, you're always going like, is basically how you're going to experience the game.
Okay. If you said Cascadia switches between 3 and 2, what's your number? What does it switch with?
Calico.
Oh, interesting. So Verdant is your number one then.
Yeah. And you know what? And I've been like, I thought it would be Calico for the longest time, but there's something about Verdant. I just, you know, I've been sitting here and I've just kept thinking about Verdant. Like I play a game of Verdant. So I use our usual Likert scale to say like the 1 through 5, one being someone's inviting you over to play that game and you're like, no, I'll pass. I'd rather not even come to that game night because you're playing that game. Mm-hmm. And 5 is, let's play this game now. Right now, I'm I'm at the let's play this game now. And Verdant, I'm not really good at Verdant either, but I just I don't think I win often with that game, but it's just there's something about the art, maybe there's something about, I don't know.
So here's where I'm at.
Satisfying the puzzle.
I was determined for me that Calico and Verdant were pretty close. Yeah. And I was going to give the edge to Calico because it's simpler. You can get it set up, ready to go. There's no setup. You're not shuffling anything. All the tiles are in the bag. You shake it up. On your turn, you play your tile, you grab a tile. With Verdant, it's more fiddly. You have to, okay, you took your card, you took that. Now you got to add a green thumb token to the card you didn't take.
Yeah, that's fair.
Refill everything.
That's fair.
But having played Calico a couple days ago, after like 3 or 4 plays of Verdant, I think I enjoy playing Verdant more.
Yeah. And I think that's it, right? I think Calico is more elegant in terms of there's less stuff. It's simpler rules. And it just, it's super easy to get on the table and play. But as far as my enjoyment from it, the sort of Goldilocks effect, out of the three, I think Verdant hit it right on the spot. It's something that, we need to set up and stuff like that, but I want to keep playing it. Whereas Calico, I play it and maybe I'll play it once more right after, but then I'm done.
Yeah.
I think. With Verdant, there's an ease to it. Mm-hmm. Cascadia, can I do that again and again and again? Sure, but I feel like Cascadia, by the third game, I get bored.
Yeah, I think for me, Cascadia is still number three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would go Verdant, Calico, Cascadia.
Okay, so number one is Verdant.
Going off of what am I most excited to play.
Okay.
And we've played them all roughly the same number of times. We've had Calico the longest, but we played Cascadia 3 or 4 times, and we have borrowed our friend's copy of Verdant, and we're just not giving it back currently.
No, we're holding it hostage now.
Yeah. And you can feel with a Verdant, I think they figured out what people liked about Calico and what they liked about Cascadia and kind of pulled those together in a very cozy theme.
What did you think that they pulled from Calico?
That tension, the everything fills up as the game progresses. It gets harder and harder.
Yeah,
and you're really just looking, okay, I really need this plant type. And whereas in Calico, it's like, I really need this tile. It needs to be this color. It needs to be like, that's it. Whereas in Verdant, you may be like, it would be really nice if I could get this plant type. But if not, okay, if I can get a plant that has, maybe it's going to match these two room, things that I have, the sunlight things on this room.
Right.
Or maybe it's, I really need this one color of room to fulfill, get one of each color. But it's not bad if I get this too. It gives you, you have backup options.
Yeah.
Whereas Calico, you can put down a tile that you're like, this is just sheer garbage. It does nothing for me. In fact, it ruins this. Whereas in Verdant, you've got more options. It's like, okay, it may not be ideal, but at least I'm getting something from it.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fair.
And for me, Cascadia, every single thing you do, at least you're getting something from it. Whereas Verdant still feels tighter because you're, eventually, you have to do a 5x3 grid. So at some point, you're going to put that third card down in a column, and now you're stuck. You can't grow in whichever direction you want. So now you're limited a little bit by, okay, so now I have to slot it in here. What's going to maximize this spot type thing?
Yeah, okay. If you put that. Yeah, okay. No, that makes sense.
Whereas you're never limited in any way in Cascadia.
I wonder if that's really how the development went, because I know they're different developers, but you're
designers,
right. When you put it in perspective, and that's about the timeline too, right? Calico came out first, and then it was Cascadia, and then it was Verdant.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I was, while you were, talking, I was daydreaming and thinking about, they need a third, unofficial quilting game so that you could also do a collection bundle, Patchwork, Calico, and something else.
It's a shame they're not the same publishers.
I know, but that's if you're in for a cozy quilting type of game and similar.
Oh, there are some. There's Arch Ravels is a new, I think it's more knitting.
Oh, okay. Well,
but you're making cute little, they've got some really nerdy stuff in there, like Harry Potter scarves, and you're knitting different things.
Well, that's kind of neat.
There's another quilt one I've seen that we haven't played.
Okay.
There's a few of them.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So we can do a little quilt-themed game
day.
Yeah. Okay, so final Our final rankings is Verdant's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Calico.
Yep.
Number two.
Yep.
And the third, we're putting The Darling.
Yeah.
As number three. Cascadia.
Yeah. It's just there's so many relaxing games out there. And maybe it's just because we don't own it, so we haven't played it as, you know, we can't just be like, oh, yeah, maybe I'd feel like playing Cascadia and it can't grow on us. But yeah, I'm just, of the three of them, I'm the least excited to play Cascadia. For me, Cascadia on that scale would be a three.
All right.
I'll play it.
Unpopular opinions.
Yeah, but I'm not, like, keen. Calico, probably a 3.5, maybe a 4. And Verdant, for me, is a solid 4, 4.5.
4.5.
I'm ready to play Verdant again.
I want to play Verdant now.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Like, so, 5.
Let's wrap this up and play Verdant.
That's our first 5. Is that a 5 from you or a 4.5?
I think it's a... Well, I mean, right now it's a 5, but I mean, taking a step back, I think it's a 4.5.
Okay.
It's a 5 because I literally the definition is let's stop this podcast and go and play it. But we're going to wrap it up before we go and play it. So,
okay, fair enough. Fair enough. And that is our thoughts on the trilogy slash set of games that are the same size of boxes and share similar mechanisms. That does not roll off the tongue.
That's apparently a collection, but not really.
Yeah.
So let us know. Do you agree, disagree? Are you grabbing pitchforks ready to burn our house down because our opinion's wrong?
Yeah.
So many ways to let us know.
And I'm sorry, like you said, all the Cascadia fans out there, we still like it. It's a good game.
I mean, we ranked it with 3.5, right?
Three.
On our scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not something that particularly excites me. You're right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, tell us how right or wrong we are on our BGG Guild. We have a Discord channel, our Instagram. And you know what would really send a strong message? A review. Give us a 5-star rating, subscribe to us, and then let us know strong in your most strongly worded way about whether you agree or disagree with our opinions.
Tell we can take it.
We can.
Tell a friend that also, you know, thinks Cascadia is their least favorite. That'd be great.
Or that thinks Cascadia is the bee's knees.
Yes.
But, you know, before arguing with us, you know, have them give us a listen first.
Yeah. Yeah. We do enjoy disappointing people.
Yes.
It's our specialty.
It is our specialty. Yep. Yeah. And our unpopular opinion. So, yeah, give it a go. And until next time, happy gaming.
And stay gancy.
Oh, for f***ing sake!
It's connected to your phone.
It was connected to my computer first. They always do that. You shut the f*** up!